You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is Thursday, which means we have a lot to get into. We're live at Denny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive over in Metairie. Saints, day number two of work. We'll go over the first injury report that was released this week as they prepare for the Jaguars. Did you know Jacksonville's favorite in the game? Interesting. You can see my face right now. Oh, the Pels. Did you watch the game last night? Did you watch little Pels and Bulls? Tell me you watched it to the end. Did you? You might have seen a few of these.
Nikhil down the lane, shovels it to Zion. Spinning! 360! Two-hand rail! Ooh and ah!
Oh yeah, Zion had himself a game. Pels come back and win in their second preseason game, and it's so much to get into this, and we will in the opening segment with Jake Madison from Locked On Pels. Zion's 29 points, the most by a rookie in the last three preseasons. Also, most by a number one pick in the preseason since, you might have heard of him, Derrick Rose hit 30 back in 2008. 13 different Pelicans had at least one assist opportunity. I can go on and on, and we will. That tweet and that info coming from Andrew Lopez, who covers the Pels now for ESPN.com, at underscore Andrew underscore Lopez is the way to follow him. Pels trail by as many as 23 in the fourth quarter. By the way, the game-high 29 from Zion, he lived in the paint. That's what I loved about what I saw last night. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, my goodness gracious. Is he just continuing to impress? Todd Graffanini, voice of the Pels.
Oh, a little short, on the rebound to Makoka. Left hand, dribble into the lane, hounded, blocked. 50-50 ball, tip, volleyball, and taken by Kenny Hustle. Into the front court, Josh Hart spins, leaves it for Nikhil for three.
Right wing, and switch!
Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
4:10 to go, we've cut it to two. He would 120 to 118, and now the threes are raining.
Oh, no. He would eventually tie the game and then hit a pair of free throws at the end to come up with the final score as the Pels win it 127-125. Again, a 41-point fourth quarter. Zion is a topic in and of itself, what we saw. His third quarter was ridiculous. He displayed all of the different athleticism traits that you liked. And to me, I was telling Jordan, my favorite move was the catch by the right elbow, right wing area, in which he spun between the legs, dribbled between three bulls for a layup that showed ball handling skills and an ability to go through the defense. I loved it. I love how they're continuing to use him. It's in the paint. That's where he needs to live. There's nothing wrong with that, which was incredible because earlier in the day, I saw Jay Williams on SportsCenter. I saw him on NBA Countdown, and boy, can he not find enough airtime to tell you how dunking is going to hurt Zion's knees. It's going to put pressure on his ankles, and he's going to have to learn. He's 19, Jay. Just turned it. Had just played one preseason game going into that game. It's incredible. By the way, one of the players they played on Monday, Vince Carter, wasn't he a dunker and all that? He's still playing basketball, isn't he? Now, he's not dunking nearly as much as shooting at, but he's still doing it. But it's just, by the way, Giannis yesterday, he played yesterday. Have y'all ever heard anything about Giannis's knees and Giannis's ankles? The dude's almost 300 pounds and he's spinning in a second, dribbling between three guys. He's not normal. He's fine. No one's talking about LeBron's knees and ankles because he's dunking so much. They're just built differently. But it's incredible how these national analysts, well, you better start your, no, he doesn't. I don't want to see him shooting threes. I don't want to see, he doesn't need to be shooting jump. Have you watched the Pels? Got plenty of shooting. Plenty of shooting. Do what you do. He's got plenty of time and years in the NBA to develop that shot. Goodness gracious. Do these guys not remember Michael? Michael attacked the paint his first few years. He didn't develop the fadeaway and the jumper and the three range until middle part of his career. It's just incredible to me. All of these people want to tell us what's wrong with his game. And he put up 29 yesterday. It was incredible. Again, you're going to have to temper my enthusiasm because I was impressed Monday, but I was more impressed or impressed in a different manner on the game yesterday by it, right? So it's pretty interesting, and I love it from when it comes to that. 800-998-1003. We'll hear from Jake Madison here in a minute from Locked On Pels. I think one of the things as well that I loved was the defense that finally happened. They didn't play a ton of really good defense early on. Again, Bulls led most of this game, if not all of it, essentially, until the very end. They did buckle down when it needed to.
Diakono, front court center circle, picks up his dribble, get it to Kobe White. White looking for a pick, gets it, steps back, crosses to the right hand, right of the lane, drives in, floats it up off the glass. No, tipped up, 50-50 ball, Simon ran it down. They'll reset it now to 10 on the shot clock. High pick and roll. Diakono into the paint. Drives in. Steps. Picked up his dribble. Ball by Simon. They threw it out of bounds. Tremendous defense by the Pelicans. Tremendous.
Again, you saw the defense when you needed to, and you saw the offense come from all of the different places as well. At NOLA, Jake's the way to follow. Jake Madison from Locked On Pels, who joins us to discuss this here as well. The beauty of this, Jake, is I was impressed by this win differently than I was impressed from Monday's game. And I think the thing that stands out, yes, we're going to talk about Zion. It's this team we've been talking about has this huge competitive nature, and I think you saw that yesterday. They don't want to lose. This team didn't give up. Down 23 in the fourth, they didn't want to lose, and it was the Baby Birds leading the way. What stood out to you in the game yesterday, man?
Yeah, you know, it's the hunger of some of these new guys, and this is what you're going to see on a roster that just has six holdovers from, sorry about that, from last season, where these guys want to carve out roles in the rotation. They're fighting for minutes, and you saw it in particular from Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who went out there and led this team in the fourth quarter. He was passing the ball well. He was shooting the ball well. In a game that had Zion Williamson on the bench, no one else playing particularly well, they could have just packed it in, but they didn't. They went out and competed, and they might have stumbled onto a four-out kind of small ball-ish lineup that really works with this team.
Look, you know, Nikhil, we just saw in Summer League, just impress. And when you speak to him and you hear him talk or you just really watch him play, he's wise beyond his years, you know. I mean, that just kind of stands out. It's going to be really difficult to not give him that ball if Lonzo Ball's not running it, huh?
Yeah, he seems like the optimal guy to have be that backup point guard role. He just seems to make other guys better. He's got a feel to make the right kind of passes. And you saw it in the third quarter of last night's game. He had seven assists in that one, including five assists in the third quarter, where he was setting teammates up for success. Sorry, got something caught in my throat there. And,
no problem.
Live radio, right? But he was setting teammates up for success, and then when they weren't hitting their shots, he was the guy that decided to take over scoring. He put up, I think, 11 of his 15 points, whatever it was, in the fourth quarter, where he went out, shot the ball well, 3 of 4 from deep, and did it from the field and was aggressive. And you could kind of just see a complete overall game, the guy who elevates his teammates. That's what you want in that backup point guard spot. And this has really been the big positional battle remaining on this team. Who gets those minutes after Lonzo Ball, after Drew Holiday? It's been between Frank Jackson and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I originally thought they were leaning towards Frank Jackson, but now after just two preseason games, I've gone completely the other way, and I think it should be the rookie who should get these minutes. He's got a higher ceiling. I think his shot's maybe just a little bit more consistent. And more importantly, he's got every pass in his repertoire, whether it's bullets to the corner, pick and rolls, whatever it is. He runs that offense well. He's the guy that should be getting those backup point guard minutes.
Speak with Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. At NOLA, Jake's the way to follow him over on Twitter. All right, let's talk about Zion. Goodness gracious. You know, some of the stats that came out of that game, and I just went through Andrew Lopez, I thought did a great job just giving us stat after stat after stat of what was going on there. There's a lot to to dive into. I think what I saw too was maybe a switch sort of click to me in that third quarter. And it was, I think you're seeing him learn this game, learn the spacing, learn, you know, look, Zach LaVine was working them a little bit, a couple of the players defensively. He's going to get better once he learns, I think, that game and how strong some of the other NBA players are. But you saw him handle the ball. You saw him use his athleticism in dunking. And more importantly, that third quarter to me, Jake, I was just in awe because you just saw, like, it's like a switch or a light clicked in on him and the flow, and it didn't feel forced and the offense was going through him. And it was just, whether it's a drive to the basket, whether it's a layup, whether it's a dunk, whether it's a, you know, catch and pass off of an assist, you know, an attack on the angle, you saw him score in a number of different ways and all within a flow and quickly. And I was like, man, this guy can take over if he has to, you know?
Yeah, he is so good and as good as advertised, and he's only going to get better. He had an unbelievable night. I mean, he missed one shot and shot over 92% from the field. Think about that for a second. 29 points, I think, on 13 shots. Is that right? That's
yeah.
An absolutely insane number. If you look at his shot chart, it's like a thing of feet. It's all within the restricted area other than one attempt. That's
yes.
It. That is efficient basketball at some of its best. And that's what you want to see from him. But he, you know, in this game, I thought you saw more finesse from him than the power that you saw in game one against Atlanta. Atlanta was all about those dunks and getting him down and headed towards the rim and just throwing it down with authority. There was much more finesse in this one with him just in control of his body, stepping around guys. You saw the power mixed in with that too, particularly on that baseline 360 dunk that he had that just makes your eyes pop out of your head. But he's in complete control of his body. He can score in a variety of different ways down there. The spacing wasn't great for him out on the court. He was going into 3-4 guys down low almost every time, and he only missed one shot. That is absolutely insane and just shows you what's this team going to be able to do if they run that kind of 4-out lineup maybe around him like they did to close out that game and complete the comeback. It's very scary, all of the things that he's capable of doing. Him being 6'6", I think, kind of disappointed some people. They were hoping he might be taller. That's his measurement without shoes. It's probably better for him. He's not long and lanky and doesn't have control of his limbs, complete control of his body, uses that to score in a variety of ways. And frankly, there's no way to defend it. If you look at him kind of drop his left or right shoulder on his drives to the basket and get low, unbelievably low, you can't sweat the ball away from him. He had one turnover in this game, that's it. Going to 3 or 4 guys at a time, it's the recipe for a disaster. And he missed one shot. It's unbelievable what he was able to do in this game. You know, you can nitpick certain things. You can nitpick the defense where he does look lost. But overall, the first two preseason games for this guy have just been unbelievable.
Well, and again, I mean, the defense and the speed of the game and the strength of these other players. He's playing against Ben. I mean, it's different. It's going to take a bit of an adjustment for him. But, I mean, that's what I like to see, right? I mean, what comes natural to him? And you can see the basketball savviness. He has spacing that he kind of already understands. And it's just that ability and basketball awareness, Jake, is what stood out to me. And again, he's just learning. He's going to get better. He's going to get more comfortable when it happens. The other thing I love, too, is I think last night and the night before on Monday, if you've been a Pels Hornets fan for a while in the AD era, you know, I was thinking about this driving in, Jake. I'm like, this is what you've been wanting. You know, live in the paint. That guy should dominate in there. There's no reason AD couldn't have lived in the paint. I love that. So they're not forcing him to shoot. They're not saying go out there and shoot threes. They're not get in there and do what you can, because also, though, Jake, they do have the shooting and they do have the ability to make the shots elsewhere. And I think that's what's perfect about this team that you're seeing. Everyone has that role, and what's perfect for a guy like him with the number one overall pick, all he has to do is live in the paint. You have a bunch of other guys that can create shots or launch threes.
Yeah, you know, I'd say they're inconsistent from shooting from deep. You saw them get really hot in the fourth quarter. They were 8 of 10 from there, but they started off, I think, 1 for 6 or like 2 for 10, and it wasn't pretty and didn't come on till late. So I think that could be issues in the future that maybe make Zion feel like he needs to add that jumper sooner rather than later. So I think that's certainly the wrong way to go about it. Just let this guy go and do what he does best, which is get the ball, get a full head of steam, get that momentum, and get to the rim and score that way. And that works. Don't let him work on other parts of his game right now. Just let him build up some confidence and add those things over time. there's a reason the Pelicans are trying to kind of knock down those expectations around Zion, and that's because they don't want his confidence to get wrecked early. And adding a three-point shot, not being good at it, and just not doing what you do best, probably a way to go about kind of destroying that. So we don't want to see that whatsoever from this team and from him. But you're right. They have a. When you look at this roster, when we say they're deep, they certainly are. I wouldn't say they're deep with just tons and tons of talent. They're deep with rotation guys, not like there's a bevy of starters on the bench there. But what those rotation guys do is do one or two things well, and that's all they need to, whether it's shooting and ball handling, like you see with Josh Hart, Frank Jackson, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, or it's off-ball movement and setting screens, and a guy like Jahlil Okafor and Derek Favors. They all do multiple things well, maybe not exceptionally, but that allows you to have a lot of fluidity out there, and you can change your game plan at a moment's notice and find what's working and then put the right guys around what's working to make it even better. And that's what I think is going to be the big advantage to this Pelicans team is they're very adaptable, and they're adaptable in ways that are going to force the opponents to have to match them versus the other way around, and I think that's a big thing. So it's just going to make Zion even better because you can see they're using him in some very creative ways already. You've seen him out there paired with a guy like Derek Favors who sets screens for him and frees him up, or pairing him around other shooters too, and it just depends on what's needed in the flow of the game. It's going to make this team a pain to play.
Final question for Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, at Nola Jake's, the way to follow him over on Twitter. You know, the thing that's interesting, I mean, you just look up and down that box score. We can talk an hour on this game and all the different inputs from Josh Hart's performance here as well, Okafor's performance, and we will probably before the Friday preseason game, Jake, we touch back in getting into it here at the Smoothie King Center. But I think the other thing that's important to touch on is the desire to not want to quit. You know, it's the preseason, but we've heard the coaches, we've heard the players say that there's so many people shooting and trying for minutes here that it leads to a level of competitiveness that they haven't really had around there. And you're down 23 in the fourth, 15 with like 5 minutes left. They come back and win. They don't want to lose. That's the kind of DNA and character building that is going to help everybody. And you saw the starter, Zion, waving the towel, like getting excited and genuinely happy for their teammates to do this and come back and do it. And like I said, I think if you're a Hornets/Pels fan for the last couple of years, you have been just dreaming of what you saw there in that late fourth quarter. I know it's the preseason. I know it didn't count, but it did, I think, in seeing how that team did not want to lose a game that didn't matter.
This goes back to what I think David Griffin's been trying to build from the get-go. And, you know, you hear him preach culture a lot, and you saw it on full display in this game against the Chicago Bulls, a meaningless preseason game where no one needed to really try and do this comeback. It would have been okay if they lost and got blown out. No one would have been upset about this.
Right.
But they didn't, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker talked about it after the game, saying this is part of their identity. It's not just the playing fast, getting in transition and running, and trying to play good defense. That's a big part of their identity, but it's also that won't bow down motto that they're using in all of the advertising right now. And it's not just a slogan you put on your phone or in the Smoothie King Center. It's something that's permeating the whole of the building, the organization there. They're buying into that, and that's become part of their identity too. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker said after the game, this is who we are. This is why we have the won't bow down motto. We don't care if we're down 23 points. We're going to keep going, and we're going to keep trying to fight, and we know we have this in us because that motto speaks for us. And so you're seeing the culture, the identity, and all of this really come together quicker than I thought it was going to be, probably quicker than even David Griffin thought it was going to come together. And it creates that mentality, and it's why you see guys on the sidelines cheering and everyone being excited over something that ultimately doesn't matter. But that's what you want to see, because they're going to be now tested and ready to go when the games do matter.
Yeah, like I said, I can't wait to see what the atmosphere at the Smoothie King Center is going to be like on Friday. I know you can't wait. We're going to be there live, man, starting at 6 o'clock with our coverage. So I'm pumped up. I can't wait to be there, dude. And I can't wait to see you. Thank you, Jake.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
Yep. At Nola Jake's, the way to follow him on Twitter. You know the podcast. At Locked On Pels is the way to go. Listen to it as we hit our first break, as we're live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie. Andrew Lopez with another awesome tweet. We're going to have him on Friday and talk about this next opponent against the Jazz. But he says, time to play everyone's favorite game, fun with selected numbers. players to post at least 29 points and 4 assists while shooting over 92% from the field in a regular season game since the year 2000, Shaquille O'Neal, Dwight Howard twice, LeBron James. That's it. That's the list. I know it's preseason. We're just saying that it's an impressive list, and it's what they're doing. Pels tweeted this last night. That would have been a regular season game. The 23-point comeback would have tied the Pelicans' franchise record for largest comeback in a regular season game, 2010. It's the last time. Again, I know it's preseason, but you're setting what you want your identity and what your team to be. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Go to kinginjuryfirm.com. You can check out everything you need to know about the guys. Literally, click on About Us. You'll see all the bios from the attorneys. They help you in all kinds of matters as well. Free consultation call, and it'll be fun. When we come up, we'll talk a little bit about the Saints and more of the Pels. We'll take your calls. Bottom of the hour, Benny Heisler, Fantasy Football, 1245, Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. Dwayne, you're up, my friend. Put a headset on. If you come here to Vinny's, we will always have a spare headset if you want to chime in. And we'll hear from Dwayne next. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
To the people of House District 54, this is Donnie Lurio, a candidate for state representative. I am a lifelong resident of the district. My parents are Linda and William Lurio. I am married to the late Gretchen Gisclair Lurio and the proud parent of T-Don and Lindy. Our family is of Catholic faith, and we are 100% pro-life. As a successful small business owner with conservative values, I feel that I am prepared to serve the people of District 54 as your next state representative. On October 12th, please vote for me, Donnie Lurio, number 88, paid for by Donnie Lurio campaign.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
If you're considering buying or selling a home, here's what people are saying about Pat Pennison of Ladder and Bloom Real Estate in Houma. He is responsive to clients' expectations. Pat really understands the market. Pat Pennison can help you develop pricing strategy to maximize earnings. He can also help you navigate through the sales process. Pat Pennison of Ladder and Bloom Real Estate in Houma, there's a name you can trust. Call 985-791-4952 if you're considering buying or selling a home.
Megan here with Vision Communications. Have you checked out Vision's Lightwave TV yet? With Lightwave TV, you get a more modern interactive program guide, better search features, true multi-room DVR, access to new channels, and so much more. Upgrade to Lightwave TV today and pay only $65 a month. That's only $65 a month and includes 2 set-top boxes and DVR service. Call today for offer details and to learn more about Lightwave TV. A better way to watch. From Vision Communications, bringing you a better vision.
I'm Marla Abel. I've spent my entire career as an attorney in Lafourche Parish, representing private businesses, school districts, police officers, individuals, and even children. And now I'm running to be your next Lafourche Parish District Court judge. Our community deserves a judge who has the integrity to uphold the law and make tough decisions. And I am prepared to be that judge. I humbly ask that this Saturday, October 12th, you vote for me, Marla Abel, for Lafourche Parish District Judge. Paid for by Marla Abel for Judge Campaign Committee.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline. In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Weak side rebound to Drew Holiday up the floor to Zion. Alley-oop from Lonzo Ball. Great two-man game there. And how about the bounce pass from Williamson to Lonzo to set up
the dunk. Now another steal in the front court.
No doubt. Todd Graffanini, voice of the Pelicans, again with that call there. You got to tune in, folks. He was made to call this team, believe me. And it was interesting listening to the game last night as we bring in Dwayne, who's here live over at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie. You saw the game last night, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's hard, right, to not get as excited. I mean, I know it's preseason. It doesn't count. But when you have the situation, I think, that took place, right, Dwayne?
Yeah,
just a couple months ago where your franchise player – says, peace, I'm out, I've had enough. That's all, folks. Most of the people around here probably thought that. I mean, move the franchise, she's selling it, Gail Benson. To sit here October 10th and be like, bring on the season. It's incredible, right? What do you feel about this team, man?
You know, the youth and the things like that, being able to run the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I love that style, you know, Alvin Gentry, 50 grade. I'm like you. I'm tired of the people talking about his weight and his knees. Stephen A. was saying this morning that he's not going to give Zion all that, you know, the good stuff until the regular season. But what Stephen A. and Max don't know, this is a man-child, as we said earlier. You know, he's a shorter Shaq. He's going to do what he wants when he wants.
Right. Let me ask you this. Have your expectations changed just in two preseason games from what you thought? What did you think at the beginning of the season? Would you wanted to see playoffs? To me, I was just like, hey, if you're in the last 3-4 weeks within five games to where every game matters, maybe you can make up some distance and you're battling for an eight spot, I think that's a win. That's what I thought. But
yeah.
It's changing, Dwayne. It's changing for me.
I think it can get as high as 7. I really do. And that's saying a lot being the West Conference. If in the East, I think they would be as high as maybe 3-5, somewhere in that range. And that's another thing I never understood. Why are we in the West? We should still be in the East.
You're right. Yeah. I don't know why that would be the case. Regardless, I would still love to go over to the East, especially with the way it is. But
yeah,
man, look, it is what it is when you look at it that way. Obviously, you got a big game coming up this weekend, Dwayne. LSU and Florida. We're going to talk to Chris Blair coming up at 12:45. Your thoughts on this game? It's interesting that the Tigers are a 13-point favorite over the Gators.
That's a lot of points. Florida's got a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good. They can get to the passer. They have a good secondary. They have a secondary that could probably go toe-to-toe at LSU. You know, everybody says LSU's DVU.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. But I think Joe Burrow is playing on another level. And I think if LSU pulls it out, I think they win by 7-8. I think they'll win going away towards the end.
Okay. Do you remember some of the past matchups and battles between LSU and Florida?
Oh, man. Yeah, heartbreaking.
Right.
I think the last time they played in Tiger Stadium, they held their step from, what, inside the 5?
Mm-hmm.
4 times straight.
Yeah.
They tried to run.
Remember that? And then last year, of course, they got the win. And you remember Tim Tebow doing the dynamite up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. Then I think, Jordan, you said one of their former players, what was saying about the
– Yeah, I forgot his name. But he brought, you know, the little LSU figurine with
yes.
of the dead Mike the Tiger.
Oh, that's good. Bring up the dead mascot.
Yeah, so it was 3 years ago that Mike died.
By the way, don't they have a new mascot? I
mean, yeah, we do.
A new
have,
tiger,
yeah,
right?
The LSU does have a new mascot.
Out. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
that's he was making fun that 3 years ago – Florida beat them.
I've kind of seen videos, haven't you, Dwayne,
yeah.
on YouTube of a tiger eating a gator? I mean,
yeah.
I've seen that happen, I'm pretty sure, you know?
Yeah, I think that says it's pretty expensive to feed him, too.
I hear you. Hey, man, before we let you go, give us a quick take on Sunday with the Saints. Are you a mustache man like Gardner Minshew?
No, I'm not. I think Davenport has another big game this week.
Yeah, you're starting to see him progress by the week, aren't you?
Yeah, he uses more speed. Once he learns how to get that hook and go inside in and out, and I think he's going to have a nice week, too. Cam Jordan, what do you say with him? That guy does everything.
I don't know if you're big on social media, you follow on Twitter, but I'm seeing gif after gif of Teddy Roosevelt. It's Teddy Bridgewater in a kind of throwback picture. You know, it's kind of red, you know, kind of throwback, and it looks like Teddy Roosevelt, but they have Teddy Bridgewater on there. Yesterday he spoke about, and we'll hear in a little bit later on in the show, about how he rides his bike to the game, and then afterwards he'll ride it to a bar. I'm like, dude, you're in. I mean, you're a New Orleanian. I mean, first off, you're riding your bike to the Dome, and he says anybody wants to join them, that's great, which now there will be a parade of bikes to go ride your bike. I mean, the Packers do that for training camp, right, where, like, their kids in the local town of Green Bay will loan you their loan the players the bike to bike to practice. But how cool is that to do that? And you don't have to probably say more than once, anyone want to ride a bike to a bar after the game and have one with me? I mean, they already chanted his name last Sunday. Now that he said that yesterday, it's like, hey, anyone want to go to the bar after me after the game? We're good. That's incredible.
Maybe we should do a second line.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed, but I put it on my son's, you know, little stroller when we go walk at night. You know, you can get lights now to light up your bike and all. That's really cheaply and easily everywhere. And you see some parades of bikes with some very customized, you know, lighting for sure. So something tells me this will absolutely now be a thing the next home game. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I love that, man. Hey, man, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, for sure, man. Maybe we'll hear from you in a little bit. Got to hit this first break, though, or second break. Benny Heisler is going to join us from Fantasy Sports Markets as we will talk to him about little fantasy football. Any questions that have to do with fantasy football, he is the man to ask. Not Jordan. Have you won a game yet, by the way?
I finally won this
past. You finally won a game.
If you would have listened to Jay and I earlier in the week.
Yeah, I was busy in the mountains
and
enjoying
I can understand that. I'd be on the same page as you.
Yeah, exactly right. I didn't even check mine, to be honest with you. So let's find out.
You're 3-2, actually.
I checked it for you. So I'm 3 in a row. 3 wins in a row, my friend. How about that? We'll call it a comeback. Ben Heisler, ready to talk to you when we come back out of this break. We're live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive over in Metairie. Don't forget the daily lunch special is the catfish platter. On Thursdays, it is always the steak special. $12 gets you an 8-ounce sirloin, 2-pound baked potato with a side salad. Easy enough and delicious, I promise you. Come on by. It's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Metairie's favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie.
How good are PXG clubs? Golf writers describe them as absolutely remarkable and the best golf clubs out there. Our customers call them insanely good and say they live up to the hype. So what are you waiting for? Step up your game and enjoy golf more than ever. Call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG. Nobody makes golf clubs the way we do. Period.
Napa Know How. On October 12th, bring your car down to Rogers Parts in Lockport, your Napa Auto Parts store. We'll have a Napa Auto Care technician give it a free inspection. And while you're there, we're having a one-day sales event where you can get three or more items for 25% off with purchase of a 99-cent Napa bag. So come on down for a free vehicle health check October 12th. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, get your head in the game. This ain't no exhibition match. This is for real. You've got a house to insure, and there are no excuses because Progressive's Home Quote Explorer makes it easier than ever to get the coverage you need. Here's some music to get you pumped. Don't feel that confidence. Did I say stop saving money? No.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
And Benny Heiss is the way to follow. Ben Heisler, if you have any fantasy football questions, now's the time to call or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. And we'll pass things along. Ben, how are you, man?
What's up, Gus? It's good to be on with you, and it sounds like Jordan finally got a win. So is he
going
to still take away from all the callers' questions for this week, or is he finally move on and ready to put on his big boy pants?
He gets one. He gets one question a day.
I'm not ready
for
my question.
You're not ready. Yet. That's incredible. You know what? Actually, it's not surprising that you're not ready. How are you not ready? Every 12:30, every Thursday.
I know, but what I was saying is, even though
All right. Because you're bumbling around and you're taking up valuable time. Ben, let's start with this. Let's start with the Saints-Jags matchup because they're favored, which is interesting. But Gardner Minshew, I mean, look, he's been doing well. Fournette's been kind of doing well. Are the Jags starting to become players offensively you need a start?
Yes, absolutely. And even though the Saints defense has been tremendous the last few weeks, I think if you're looking on the salary side, there's tremendous value with Jacksonville. And right now, a lot of it is because of Fournette and his ability to help establish the running game. It's opened up lanes for Gardner Minshew to find DJ Chark, who's quietly having a top wide receiver one type season. It's opened up lanes. You know, they had James O'Shaughnessy, their tight end, go down to injury, but that was the guy that was producing for them as of late. Chris Conley has gotten involved. So the Jags actually have some pretty decent offensive weapons. And I think it's time for us to start looking at Gardner Minshew as a guy that's, you know, a playable option, you know, a streamable option on advantageous matchups. And again, the Saints defense, always tough. But especially if they're going to be able to, you know, go against P.J. Williams in the slot, I think that's a very nice matchup for Minshew to have some fun all day.
The tonight's matchup on Thursday Night Football, Giants-Patriots, they're 5-0. Anybody you sit or start based on this matchup on those two teams?
Well, the problem is that everybody on the Giants is already sitting, with the exception of Daniel Jones. You have Evan Engram out.
Right.
Saquon Barkley, I believe, is out as well. Sterling Shepard dealing with an injury. So, you know, any chance that the Giants had of really trying to at least stay in this game for maybe the first half with New England is already out the window. What's interesting, though, is that the Patriots are dealing with a bunch of injuries of their own. Julian Edelman currently has a questionable tag. Same thing goes with Josh Gordon. Rex Burkhead is questionable for tonight. So I'll be curious as to what the Patriots' strategy will be. I think Tom Brady remains to be one of the safest options you can play in fantasy. Not someone that's going to ever dominate the slate for you, but more often he'll probably get you between 250 to 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He has had a couple turnovers in his last few games, but I would imagine that because of how soft the Giants' secondary is, he should be just fine. I wouldn't worry about any sort of Giants magic over the Patriots in this one, considering all the playmakers that the Giants are missing on the road.
All right, let's get to some of the questions at ESPN Radio NOLA or 800-998-1003 if you'd like to call Ben on the air and ask any questions. Let's start with Brian. Who to start, Ben? Need one for flex. Galladay, Melvin Gordon, or Keenan Allen?
Ooh, so Kenny Galladay is going to be matched up against Jair Alexander, and that's not a matchup that I want anything to do with. The Lions are actually coming off a bye, so they're going to have some time to prepare, and Galladay's been a red zone beast this year. As for Melvin Gordon, I'm just not sure when they're going to really fully expand his role. I know they had a tough loss to the Broncos last week, but they still wanted to use Austin Ekeler. They still incorporated him into the passing game. And Melvin Gordon is eventually going to get there, but Pittsburgh is pretty stout against the run. I think this is a matchup where you can feel much better about Keenan Allen. Steelers have struggled against the pass this year. Of those three guys, I would probably go Keenan Allen first.
All right, let's go to Gary, 800-998-1003. Gary, you're on with Ben Heisler from Fantasy Sports Markets. What's your question?
Is this ESPN New Orleans?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Is Beth Long, Gus Carrington?
Yeah, this is it, man. You got a question for Ben Heisler?
I got a scoop for you guys. What's your favorite Saints song?
What's our favorite Saints song?
Yeah.
We can get to that in a quick set. Do you have any fantasy football questions?
Yeah. I got a fantasy football question for you.
Okay.
Where do you think Teddy will end up this weekend against Jacksonville in top five or bottom five?
Ben, is Teddy a playable quarterback for this week against Jacksonville?
I think so. I think he's starting to get much more of a command of the offense. And by the way, salute to Gary for getting his Thursday going, you know.
Yes, for sure.
I would say that, I think Bridgewater, at least the last couple of weeks, has started to have much more of a command of the offense, and especially if Jalen Ramsey is out. I think if Ramsey plays, Parali puts Bridgewater on the, you know, I wouldn't necessarily look to target him, but think about the rest of the playmakers around the Saints. Like, Alvin Kamara's targets maybe have gone down just a tad, but Michael Thomas continues to have big weeks. Doesn't matter whether it's Breeze or Bridgewater throwing him the ball, and he had four touchdowns last week. So, obviously he's going to look a little bit better at home. That's typically how the Saints quarterbacks have been over the last several years, but is he the worst option on the slate? No, but probably not my favorite either.
All right. Good luck with this one.
All right. We have this is Edgar Allan Poe over here with a full story. Sean on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA, full PPR. Who's going to be better this week? Joe Mixon or Damian Williams?
One at a time.
All right. Let's do that. Let's do that.
Joe Mixon or Damian Williams?
Joe Mixon or Damian Williams. So the Chiefs have a fun matchup ahead at home against the Houston Texans. So Damian Williams, once again, got himself involved in the passing game, so I'm a fan of his. Conversely, you have the Bengals going on the road against the Ravens, and that's not really a matchup that I want a whole lot to do with, considering the Bengals' struggles. They're 12-point dogs on the road, so I'd rather have the better offense with a guy that's going to catch passes in a PPR, and that's Damian Williams.
Part two of that question, Ben. Also, need to start three receivers. Tyler Lockett, Keenan Allen, Chris Goodwin, Kenny Galladay, or DJ Moore, trying to take down the number one team.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's got Tyler Lockett, Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, and then I miss the other ones.
Kenny Galladay, DJ Moore.
Galladay or DJ Moore. Yeah, and he just needs one of them? Is that what he said?
He needs to start three receivers.
Oh, he needs to start three receivers. Okay, well, go ahead and lock in Tyler Lockett. Because right now Seattle has a matchup against the Browns. They're going to be throwing a bunch. And Lockett right now possibly playing with the league MVP in Russell Wilson. Keenan Allen, another fairly safe pick this week going up against Pittsburgh. And then Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin is the number three wide receiver in fantasy. Possibly the number two wide receiver after his performance last week. He's an absolute stud going up in the middle of the field where Carolina has had trouble stopping wide receivers all year. Like, they're targeting him. He's catching the ball wherever he's throwing it. He's getting into the end zone. I'll be honest, guys. Like, I thought Chris Godwin would have a really nice year taking on that Larry Fitzgerald role in Bruce Arians' offense. I did not anticipate the touchdown rate would be as high as it's been. I thought Mike Evans would get into the end zone more. We put up the same number of fantasy points as Mike Evans last week. So at some point that's going to change, but right now there's no way that you can stay away from Chris Godwin. So I would go Lockett, Allen, and Chris Godwin this week.
To the phone lines we go, 800-998-1003. Got about 3.5 minutes here, and we'll get to the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair, after the next break. Billy, you're on with Ben Heisler, Fantasy Sports Markets. Go.
Hi, Ben. I got a two-part question for you. At quarterback, do I start Jared Goff or Minshew? And then my second part of the question is, at running back, Mixon or McCoy?
Both really good questions and both good cinema stardoms, so I appreciate that. Starting at the quarterback spot, you know, Gardner Minshew, if you're playing on the daily sites, if you're looking for value on a site that's not Fantasy Sports Markets, I get the play there, but I think the Rams are going to have to throw on San Francisco, and they're going to have to get the ball out quick. So I prefer Jared Goff slightly. I just think there's higher upside. It's a higher total in that game. So let's go with Goff over Minshew, although Minshew might be a tad bit safer, considering that he's been fairly effective and not turned the ball over the last few weeks. But Goff is going to get the volume, so I prefer him. At the running back spot, man, like, the thing about LeSean McCoy is that the Chiefs have given him every indication that he could be the lead back, and then they sort of pull away. You know, he's not getting as many second-half touches as he is in the first half. But with Mixon, it's just such a tough matchup. But I think he'll get more of the volume, and I tend to side with volume here. So give me Joe Mixon slightly over LeSean McCoy this week.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call, Billy. At ESPN Radio NOLA, Michael wants to know, I need two out of McLaurin, Hollywood Brown, Galladay, Gallup. So McLaurin, Hollywood Brown, Galladay, Gallup. He needs two out of
Galladay's
those.
Popular today.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, a lot of people trying to figure out what to do with Kenny Galladay. Terry McLaurin, it's as good of a matchup as you're going to find. I'd keep an eye on him. He's currently questionable, I believe, coming off an injury the last couple of weeks, but he gets Miami. So McLaurin likely in play. And then between Galladay, Hollywood Brown, or Michael Gallup, Hollywood Brown's missed the last couple of weeks. He hasn't been 100% healthy, left in the game last week. Galladay, we talked about the matchup against Jaire Alexander. Conversely, Michael Gallup, has a really nice matchup on the outside against Daryl Roberts, and I think that's actually a sneaky game of the week. The Cowboys going to the Jets, not a lot of people are going to be on this game, but I think Michael Gallup, especially with how he's destroyed man coverage both the last year and a half, give me Michael Gallup and Terry McLaurin. I like those guys a lot this week.
Ben, tell folks what they can find over there at Fantasy Sports Markets, man.
They can find plenty of contests for the National Football League for week number 6. There's over $220,000 up for grabs. And when you play, all you do is you pick your squad. You don't have to worry about the salary caps. You can draft the guys that you want. We also have college football contests and Major League Baseball contests during the postseason. And you can get $5 free when you use promo code RADIO when you sign up at FantasySportsMarkets.com. It's available in all 50 states and in Canada as well.
Ben, as always, man, appreciate it. If anybody could get their questions in, it's real simple. Tweet at him, at Benny, H-E-I-S, at Benny Heiss. We need more sun pictures, man. We need more of your sun pictures.
Okay, I'll try. We were watching the Pelicans and the Bulls last night in preseason action. That was really, really fun.
Trust me, I can do 3 hours on what I saw yesterday, and it was preseason. But Thursdays, we got a bunch of different guests, man. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it, though, man.
Always fun. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. The voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair, will join us. We're live at, of course, Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie, where we are each and every Thursday. The steak special is $12, 8-ounce sirloin, 2-pound baked potatoes, size salad. The wings are solid. The wraps are good. Are you eating anything today?
I think we get the wrap again.
You're going to get the wrap again? Okay, you're going with the healthy. Come on by and have a little fun. Say hi to Sissy. And more importantly, on game days, you want to be here. $2 off pitchers, 16 wings, a beer bucket, which is 7 long necks, $25. It's a pretty good deal. Just a beer bucket is 14. So if you do the math, you can do the math, right? 7 beers, 14 yeah, bucks.
$2 a beer.
$2 a beer. Look at you. College paying off for
college.
You, my friend. Mr. Chris Blair is next after this on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
I'm Big Mike Fazy, and I approve this message.
Attention, attention. This Saturday, October 12th, is Election Day, the same day your Nicholls State Colonels take on Northwestern State.
It's a big day for Nicholls, but a bigger day for Louisiana. Please make sure you hit the polls early before you go tailgating. Polls open at 7 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. And remember to vote number 58, Big Mike Fazy, for State Senate, District 20.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Senator.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
You want to ride like a VIP? Then call Ray Ride's Luxury Limo Service, your best choice for transportation in Houma, Thibodaux, and Nola. Call Ray Ride's and let their skilled chauffeurs drive your party safely and in comfort to concerts, sporting events, Saints games, Pelican games, weddings, high school dances, conventions, or airport and cruise transfers. Whether you're planning your next great escape to the Big Easy and you need transportation for a large group or a small group, call or book online at rayrides.com.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. We're live at Vinny's. This is the Sports Hangover, your home for Pelicans basketball at LSU Tigers Voice. It's a way to follow Mr. Chris Blair over on Twitter, and of course, we'll find out who he has on the podcast that you have to listen to each and every week before we let him go. Chris, how are you this afternoon, man?
Is this Gus?
Yeah, it's me. How you doing? Yeah.
Oh, okay, exactly. Good. Just making sure. Hey, I was put up to do that. No, hey, yeah, it's an exciting week, man. I'm not sure, you know, New Orleans is an exciting time year-round, and there's always buzz in that city, but I have to wonder if there's not even over there with Tiger fans, because here in Baton Rouge, I mean, you can tell it's a different game week as it typically is when you have these kind of matchups. But it's going to get started probably later today. We're going to start seeing some people getting ready for Saturday.
You know, you toss it down to Gordy during the game to get his sense and feel of that sideline and what it's like over there. And I was talking to him yesterday on the show. When LSU and Florida play, especially recently and even the past couple of years, I think it's as much of a rival as anything else. I almost put it right there with Auburn in terms of when games play, when they play, something happens. It's either it's named after something, or there's a moment that takes place, it's Tebow dialing the phone, it's, you know, the pre-fight kind of brouhaha or pre-game brouhaha with Fournette and the assistant coach. Just I would say animosity. There's just a we don't care for one another kind of thing that makes it fun, I think, for fans to get into it. And now you look at it, 1-7, 1-5 in the country.
Yeah, I don't think either team likes each other a whole lot. You know, there may be, as the coaches like to say, mutual respect, and that could be argued maybe. But there's not a lot of love. And, you know, it's interesting because I was talking to Coach O last night, and I said to him, you know, everybody's kind of got a set of boxes to check off as to what is a true rivalry game. And I think I went through like 7 or 8, which were many of the ones you just mentioned. And I said, you know, it's hard to kind of put LSU and another team, even though this is a cross-divisional series. Now, you know, with the two divisions, it's hard to check all the boxes or as many boxes that you get with the LSU-Florida game. And for me, I think it is. You know, right now, as we said, the biggest rivalry game that LSU plays every year. I mean, there's so many, not only the games and some of the big moments, and like you pointed out, some of the things you remember going back many, many years, but just the recent history, you know, the whole storm issue and having to play twice in Baton Rouge, twice in Gainesville, and everybody blaming each other for why it happened. And, you know, I mean, it's just, and it's funny because Gordy, you know, I don't know if you mentioned this, but when it's LSU Florida, whether it's here in Baton Rouge or over in Gainesville, like Gordy, you got to watch everything going on. You got to watch what's between the lines. You got to watch what's happening on the sidelines. You got to watch what's happening in the corners. I mean, it's a pretty heated battle.
You know, Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, joins us to talk a little bit about this. What's the Dan Mullen effect here as well? Because he seems to coach against LSU pretty good in the past when you look at it.
Well, I think that Dan Mullen's one of these guys, and I say this with a lot of respect. I think he's a guy that feels like he's been underrated. You know, I think he feels like, you know, what they were able to accomplish in Starkville, doing more with less, you know, I'm not sure that he feels like he got the credit. And, you know, now he's at Florida. He's going to have a lot more at his disposal. He inherited some players, and now they're going to try to get the recruiting back to where it used to be, you know, years ago when they were certainly rolling on the national scene. But, yeah, I think he gets up for this LSU game, you know, and I'm sure he would disagree and say they're all big, you know, typical coach speak. But, but I think this one really means something to him, and I think it goes back to not only when he was coaching – under Urban Meyer at Florida. I think it really came to fruition when he got to Mississippi State because of the history and the games between LSU and the Bulldogs. So, you know, he can say what he wants, but I think he really gets up for this one. And that's why when you play in these games, you know, his offense is not very prolific. He's going to have a quarterback if Kyle Trask indeed plays after getting shook up last week on that hit from Auburn. You know, he's not very mobile. You know, last year they kind of went to the option a lot of that game, especially late. That really took, I don't know if it took LSU by surprise, but nonetheless, they had trouble containing it. And, you know, they're not going to have that option, pardon the pun, with Kyle Trask. So, you know, I don't know how many more wrinkles he can add, you know, with an inexperienced offensive line, a running game that's really not done anything outside of the one run P. Ryan had against Auburn last week. So it's going to be interesting because he's going to try to come up with something, and it may be in the special teams game. If his defense is able to, you know, get some turnovers, which they've had a penchant for doing. You know, I think he gets up for this game, and it shows.
You mentioned Trask, and you look and compare him with Burrow. Burrow, 1,864 yards. He has 881, obviously, not nearly the type of yards. And I was going to ask you what kind of offense you can get there, but you sort of mentioned that a bit. So I'm just going to switch on the other side of the football about that offense, though. LSU's getting a little healthy on the defensive end, which should help whatever the Gators try to throw at them, right?
Well, I hope so. I mean, it was good to see them play very well last week. You know, I know it's Utah State. I think Jordan Love's a very good quarterback. You know, do they have the offensive line from a talent standpoint that Florida has? Probably not. Do they have a receiving core and a tight end that Florida has? Probably not. But they held a team that was averaging over 500 yards a game to 159 yards total and only 19 yards rushing. And, you know, maybe there were one or two missed tackles compared to the previous game when they missed 14 against Vanderbilt. So I like the way the defense is playing right now. And you remember, I've talked to you all season long, I was never one of those guys that thought the sky was falling when it came to this defense. I think there was going to be a little bit of an adjustment based on how fast this offense for LSU is moving and how fast they're scoring and how much time LSU on defense would have to rest, and not only rest, but make adjustments as the game wore on. I'm hoping that maybe they've got a better handle of that now. But again, to your point, getting some of those key guys back healthy and having them on the field and at your disposal, I think is even better. So the fact that they played much better as a unit last week, and then they're probably or more than likely going to get Rashard Lawrence back. They're going to get Michael Divinity back. Caleb on Chasson maybe closer to 100% since early on in the season. I think they can cause some trouble. All the talk coming in here, deservedly so, is for Florida's defense because their numbers are kind of eye-popping. Over 20 sacks, and as I mentioned, 12 interceptions. Both of those lead not only the SEC but the country. But I don't think LSU, I think because of the early part of the season, LSU's defense from a national perspective has kind of been sold short. So I think it's a chance for them to make a statement as well tomorrow.
Got about 2 minutes here, Chris. On the other side of the football, obviously on offense, look, you see that spread, 13 points. That to me is belief in this offense that LSU has and in Joe Burrow here as well. What are the Gators going to throw defensively?
You know, it's interesting. You look at last week's game against Auburn. Again, not a scoring juggernaut offense by any stretch of the imagination, but they only rushed four basically the entire game, and they had all kinds of trouble on top of Bo Nix. He just looked uncomfortable most of the day, and it eventually forced him to throw some really bad balls that resulted in interceptions for Florida. I'm not so sure they're going to be able to just simply rush four and drop back seven in coverage. Now, if they do, it's going to be a tough day for LSU. But I think they're going to have to come up with a few more of those exotic-style blitzes where maybe they rush four, but then they're bringing a corner or safety also to try to get to Joe Burrow. Nothing's more frustrating than the last 3 years watching both Danny Etling and last year Joe Burrow, you know, try to hand it off and run up the middle against a bruising defensive front and then go to the play-action pass and drop back three or five steps with a pass rush like Florida. That was frustrating to watch. And that's not what LSU does now. So if Joe Burrow can simply get rid of the ball quickly and, you know, avoid having a lot of pressure, avoid getting hit and keeps a clean pocket, to me that's the scenario that LSU turns this very talented Florida defense against themselves because at some point they're going to have to say, well, we can't just keep rushing after Joe Burrow. We can't get to him before the ball is out. And we're having to make plays in space against some pretty good skill players.
All right, final question for you. The key to look for LSU fans during the game?
Well, it's got to be protecting the football and taking away the football. And I know that sounds like cliche, but, you know, LSU has not been very good this year in taking away the football without coughing it up themselves. And you heard Coach O say it Monday in his press conference. That's really a big concern for him. The week after the Vandy game, tackling was a big concern, and they went right after it, and it seemed like it made an improvement. They're going to utilize the running backs in this game. They're going to utilize the receivers in this game. But whoever's got the ball in their hand has to hold on to it, and Joe Burrow is going to have to make sure his passes are on the money because that's really the defense wins games for Florida. There's no other way around it. And if you, A, give them a chance to make a play and put points on the board with the defense, or, B, give Florida's offense more times with the football than they need to have, that's a recipe for trouble.
Chris Blair, as always, man, appreciate the time in the afternoons. Tell us a little bit about the podcast, bud.
Yeah, we had a chance to visit with Lee McGriff. He's a longtime color analyst for the Gator Sports Network. Super nice man. Played at Florida. He's in the Athletic Hall of Fame there in Gainesville. He coached some time in his younger days there at the University of Florida. Knows a lot of football. And it's a really good insight. Maybe one of the best of the year on breaking down what Florida's really good at, and on the same by the same token, talking about where their weaknesses are, which not a lot of people are talking about, and I don't think a lot of people really have picked up on. So it comes out later this afternoon around 3 o'clock, and I think it's got some pretty good insight. And we also discussed how much is being too much of a homer on a broadcast, which I know that all of us in the industry, we have that age-old debate all the time. So we talk about that a little bit. But look for it.
All right, we definitely will. What, lsusports.net/podcast, or, of course, you can just go over and follow Chris on his Twitter timeline, and there's the link, at LSU Tigers Voice, the way to go do it. Thank you, Chris, as always. We appreciate your time on Thursdays.
All right, thank you, Gus, and thanks for being a good sport. Talk to you next time.
For sure, man. Thank you. Hour one in the books. Brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Coming up next hour, going to have a little more fun in and around the air. Eric Alexander is going to join us at 1:15. We'll chat with him. 1:30, Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. He'll preview that for us as well. And we'll have much more. We're live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive. Plus, we have not forgotten Sissy. At some point today, she will make fun of Jordan. We always look forward to that. Don't you, Jordan?
I guess.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. Hour one in the books. And you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Remember I told you, I'm a soldier in the war.